Judy also has been at the foundation for many years. She took a little break in between there, but she was actually one of the developers of our national folic acid campaign way back before prematurity. And Judy is one of the hardest workers I've ever met, especially at the March of Dimes. And she loves the mission, and she loves it so much that she's even a very active chapter volunteer in the state of Connecticut. So it's my pleasure to introduce Judy Gooding. And Judy's talk is Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait.
Thank you very much, Janice. That was very nice. Thank you. And good afternoon, everyone. I love how we went from national to global to local, because, in fact, what I'm going to be talking about today as community-based here in the United States, Dr. Howson is beginning to share outside the United States as a promising solution for concentrated community-based community-based maternal and neonatal health care. So I really love how it comes full circle in the way that Dr. Howson just previously mentioned. And I have no relationships to disclose. You saw this slide a little bit earlier when Dr. McCabe was speaking, and it addresses all of the aspects of Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. My talk today is focused on how this work across the country comes together in a concentrated, focused, measurable program in 15 communities. The Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program is described here, and I want you to know that in 2006, the March of Dimes Foundation and Johnson & Johnson, in collaboration with the Kentucky Department for Public Health, developed Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. The project was implemented in 2007 through 2009 as a multifaceted initiative to prevent preventable preterm births. The cornerstone of the initiative was and still is the partnership among hospital clinicians, public health professionals, and the community, complemented by extensive educational outreach to women of childbearing age. The initiative was developed then to test if clinical and public health collaborations implemented through bundled healthcare delivery interventions could decrease preterm birth in selected communities in Kentucky. And here you see the description of the program in its various key elements. It's a community program. Partnership is absolutely critical. It includes these elements, both clinical and public health interventions, provider and patient education, and community awareness, and it's focused on results. Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait now, as we're looking at it in the communities, the 15 communities where it exists, starts in a targeted community that has a number of different groups of people that need to gather together. Perhaps they're very well functioning, but not completely integrated in the prenatal healthcare community. Everybody's doing very good work, but they're all staying within their own circle of influence. So the public health professionals might not be completely connected to other local key stakeholders like insurers and employers, might not be connected directly to the pregnant women or community members at large or the clinicians and the providers. Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait framework becomes involved, and its primary focus at the beginning is to bring that community together in this kind of Venn diagram, really working together and concentrating efforts together with the partnerships in the center. Those partnerships work groups begin, and specific needs are identified and interventions are selected. There's always a focus in every community on access to care, on care coordination, and evidence-based interventions. With the end game, of course, being the reduction in preterm birth, better care, and better outcomes. This really is the core to Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait framework. We call it the five P's. Partnerships are certainly central. Provider initiatives are always included, patient support, public engagement, which is one of the things that makes Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait different from many other community-based programs. It's not just the community of public health professionals and clinical care providers, but also the community at large that gets involved not just in delivering the interventions, but in selecting and planning for the selecting interventions and planning for the program. Applying the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait model actually changes the relationship among providers, community, patients, public health, and other key stakeholders, and enables that larger integrated partnership to improve access and system of prenatal care, care coordination, and referral services. This is just a list of the interventions that are available, some of the interventions actually that are available to a Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait community under the program. Interventions are selected by the full partnership, and they're selected from among those that have an evidence base like group prenatal care. Janice mentioned the March of Dimes interest and investment in centering pregnancy, or interventions that are the standard of care, like eliminating early elective deliveries, which Dr. McCabe spoke so clearly about earlier, and addressing issues that we know affect preterm birth, like smoking during pregnancy. Each site might select and bundle different interventions. In partnership, the site defines the issues, decides how to address those issues, and addresses them at the same time, in the same place, in a concentrated effort. One of the five P's is patient education and public engagement, and Dr. McCabe spoke about these materials earlier, and I want to add that materials like The Coming of the Blessing, which he also showed you, and materials developed by the community to address specific community needs are also part of the program. Currently, we're in 15 sites, and we're spreading, and those sites are in three states, Kentucky, New Jersey, and Texas. This photograph happens to be from our Newark, New Jersey site, and includes the March of Dimes partners, the state health department partners, local health department, our clinicians, our hospital partners, community members like supporting our sisters, and our corporate partner, Johnson & Johnson. So a little bit about each of the states that are conducting Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. I'm going to go back a bit with Kentucky and just remind you that Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait demonstration project began in Kentucky, and it sought to determine if the rising rate of preterm birth could be reversed by a program of bundling evidence-based interventions and developing partnerships among key stakeholders. A monograph is coming out from the March of Dimes shortly that reports that during Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait implementation in Kentucky, we saw statistically significant reduction in preterm birth rates over 60 months. This 12% decrease in preterm birth from baseline occurred despite external challenges that were encountered during the implementation of the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait initiative. In particular, the initiative took place during a national recession that had severe economic impact across the state. This was reflected in provider-reported food shortages, financial barriers to healthcare access based on loss of insurance coverage, and a rise in substance abuse with few treatment programs available for pregnant women in Kentucky. That a substantial decrease in preterm births occurred despite these challenges demonstrates the robustness of the intervention strategies and provides evidence that an effective collaborative model can be devised involving clinical and public health professionals, hospitals, and community organizations. And as you can see on this slide, since then, the Kentucky Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait has spread to 8 sites, the original 3 intervention sites. We've added the 3 comparison sites that were part of the demonstration project and added 2 more sites in Kentucky in 2010 and 2011. And we've also moved to New Jersey, as you saw on the slide before. In New Jersey, the program is an adaptation that focuses on African American women. It's a very strong partnership with a goal that was set in concert with the State Health Department and is focused on that 8% reduction with the ASTO challenge. So the state of New Jersey took up the ASTO challenge and worked with the March of Dimes and the city of Newark to share that same 8% reduction goal by the end of 2014. Newark also created among its many work groups, among the many work groups that are created in all of the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait site, Newark created a disparities reduction work group to develop strategies and materials that were informed by patient focus groups, consumer focus groups, provider surveys, and other ways of gathering information directly from the community and truly involving and engaging the community in developing the strategies to focus on African American women. And one of the accomplishments that I want to point out to you on this slide is the presumptive Medicaid eligibility work group that's increasing access to care in Newark, New Jersey. That's another sort of unique work group that the Newark project has undertaken. This is a very busy slide with lots of information on it. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to go over it in detail here. But this is one of the ways we get reports from our Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait sites. These, as you can see from the top, it's all of the activities listed under the five P's. And generally, these reports or reports similar to this come into us collectively and about quarterly or twice a year so that we can really see how the community is connecting. And you can see how strong, if you kind of glance through this, how strong community engagement is in Newark. You'll see a community engagement piece. I think it's the third bullet under the partnerships. And then further, Grand Rounds under the provider initiatives is focused on cultural competency, or was in this particular year. Under patient support, we have hired patient navigators in Newark, New Jersey, in both of the hospitals who are facilitating referrals for patients. And even over in the in progress measurement, you see that we're actually measuring that collaboration among the partners. So on to Texas. Texas has a robust Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program that includes a partnership with their state health department, local health districts, clinical sites, and the March of Dimes. This partnership also includes the three primary Medicaid insurers, and their interventions, and this is in Houston first, their interventions in Houston include recurrence prevention, reducing elective deliveries before 39 weeks gestation, enhancing the referral systems among hospitals and service providers, and increasing access to care with a focus on early and continuing prenatal care. Some of the milestones for Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait are on this slide here, and I want to point out one right now, and that's bullet number three, and that is that Houston has convened under Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait three of their managed care organizations who are all on the advisory board for the program to work with the health department at both the state and local level in Houston, the health district in Houston, on care coordination for better care at lower cost. And all of those three managed care organizations attribute this partnership among the three of them and with the health district to the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program, bringing them into the community of professionals that are addressing the problem. I also want to let you know that there's another recent success in the program in Texas that's not on this slide. Recently, one clinic has reported improving the access to prenatal care by changing their triage process and reports that 70% of patients now enter care in their first trimester compared to 30% previously. And again, this clinic feels strongly that they would not have made this progress if they weren't partnering with other clinics and public health in this program in Texas, in Houston. So the Waco Health District has also started Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. They received state funds to implement the program based on their demonstration of need and their readiness for implementation. In Waco, Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait is comprised of the Waco Health District, the March of Dimes, two hospitals, two prenatal care clinics, and a coalition of partners that are dedicated to reducing preterm birth. Okay, and so I also, this is the same slide you saw for New Jersey, but for Houston, and I just wanted to point out that in Houston, in their 5Ps report, they really focus, I wanted to point how interrelated their 5Ps are when it comes to guiding the sites on that second bullet down, on that first, under partnerships, how Houston Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait Advisory Board guides the sites in interventions and support community awareness and evaluation activity. Under the provider initiatives, you see that appear in the third bullet, improving the referral system among hospitals and service providers. Under patient support, you see it in the third and the fourth bullets, the ones on referring patients to needed services and patient navigation and care coordination. In public engagement, you see it under the third bullet, developing and disseminating the key messages and the collateral materials to the community. And in progress management, you see it under the fifth and sixth bullet. We aren't just improving the referral system by connecting the providers and the support services together and then sending women to their referrals or telling them where to go. In Houston, they are tracking the women who are screened and referred, and they're tracking their community outreach. So they're collecting the information on whether women followed up on those referrals and on whether women followed up on those referrals, took advantage of that, and whether and how that is coming back around full circle in the progress measurement. So that's an update on our program and progress in those three states. And now we're looking at spreading Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. So I'd like to share with you the factors that we've seen in success in terms of spreading the program and things that you may be able to apply to programs that you're looking at spreading as well. First of all, in a partnership like this, we feel very strongly that we need to begin with the professional networks and the partnerships that are already in place in a community. Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait is not about creating a whole new partnership and professional networks. It's about bringing the existing networks together under the same umbrella. And it's very important that any community considering Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait take advantage of the state and local affiliates of the national partners that both Janice Bierman and Dr. McCabe mentioned in their presentations. It's very important in Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait to be sure that from the very get-go, the public health and clinical care is very well integrated. This is fundamental to success of the program. This program cannot happen if it's only clinically based or if it's only public health based. Providing initial orientation and frequent communication between and among partners, probably something that simply can't be said enough, but the real devil is in the details and in the doing it with in Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. But really keeping everybody oriented and clear about partner expectations and accountability. With the March of Dimes, we actually have contracts among our partners, even though there may not be funding flowing between the partners. But that helps keep us all accountable. Replicating the model itself that I showed you earlier is very important, but so is being flexible within that program structure and making sure that community partnership plans to its partner strengths, the way they're doing in Houston with the Medicaid insurers, and planning to the partner to the community needs. Operationalizing the framework early in all of the partner organizations and not just in some of them. Using the Power of the Existing Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait collaboratives for cross-site learning. And this is something that's also pointed out in the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait monograph that's upcoming. There are 15 sites now already operational, and using those sites and their learnings to implement Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait in your community is not only important, but we would welcome that. So we're now planning for SPREAD. We have several strategies in this plan and some local considerations and a plan and plans for evaluation. Our strategies are based on learning from Texas, Kentucky, and New Jersey, not just learning from our successes, but learning from some of the very difficult challenges that partnerships like this bring on. Utilizing the framework of Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait to bring the right partners to the table. Organizing and bundling proven interventions within that framework. In terms of location and considerations there, we're looking at communities that have a need both for the preterm birth interventions as well as for the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait framework itself. We recognize that some communities have a very strong functioning framework for the programs that they're delivering in maternal and child health. And so we're looking for communities that are looking for that kind of stronger framework to bring their existing programs together. Looking at existing partnerships, networks of professionals that are committed, and last, in terms of location, the capacity of the community and the commitment of the community to engage in Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait and work together as a group. Texas, for example, plans to expand its Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program to additional communities, and we have a new state that we're looking at examining for Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait in 2014, and a few more shortly after that. In terms of evaluation in the future, we know that the evidence-based interventions that we're applying in Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait actually work, and we're going to continue to keep track of the preterm birth reduction and keep our eye on that ball. What we're really examining in the future, however, is whether the interventions are more powerful when they're conducted by this partnership and in a bundle based on the community's need. What is the added power, the added value to having the integration between clinical care and public health? In Texas and in New Jersey, both of those sites evaluators are looking at the partnership networking and the power of their partnerships and measuring that as part of their evaluation. So we're spreading and we're still learning. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love to learn from you. So if you're interested in being part of this project, feel free to contact us at themarchofdimes.com or contact me directly. And there are many people at the March of Dimes who are involved in the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program, and we're very certain that we can help get you the information that you need. Thank you.
Up to the front here. Thank you so much, Judy, and thanks to all of our panelists for really wonderful talks, your usual eloquent presentations. Thanks. How about questions from any of you for our presenters? I look around the room, and of course, we see some familiar faces, and for those who we don't know, welcome again, and thank you for joining us. Remember, if you haven't signed in, that there's an attendance sheet floating around, and I have extras here, so if we filled that up. Any questions for any of our panelists? Yes.
Can you repair that the corticosteroid steroid injections are so preventative for infants and newborn fatalities? What are the barriers to them not receiving it? Who are the children who are not getting it at first for preterm?
Is that being I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why don't you take that?
I didn't quite catch it. The end of it.
If you in your presentation, you mentioned that 750,000 infants could be saved with just kangaroo maternal child care as well as the ACS, the corticosteroid injection.
And who are
so what are the barriers for the children who are not getting it, for the preterm babies who are not? Why aren't they getting those too?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you look at where that force of mortality is, it's in the sub-Saharan countries, it's in South Asia, and it was one of the most striking things to me in that report was the gross inequity that exists among these countries with respect to both both mortality and, you know, occurrence, but particularly mortality. So, you know, for example, you take a child at any gestational age born in sub-Saharan Africa, that baby is 12 times more likely to die than a baby of equal gestational age born in Europe. That's simply unacceptable. You know, basically, a baby under 28 weeks has a 90% chance of dying in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. It has a 10% chance of dying in the United States. That 90-10, that's unacceptable. So it's really access, you know, lack of access to these affordable interventions, so like antenatal corticosteroids. Often they're on the shelves in clinics in many sites, but the professional staff haven't been trained in using them, so they're kind of frightened. They don't know when and how to use them. KMC, Kangaroo Mother Care, how much simpler can you get than just teaching that mom to put the baby's skin to skin? It's all a process of education there. And in fact, you know, it's good to say, but it's also sad to say that nowhere is KMC being uptaken more rapidly than in countries like Scandinavia and the US, and not places where it's really needed. So it's a question of making those affordable interventions available, scaling them up, educating the professionals about how to use them and when to use them. And also, I think you're getting now a more informed population, even in these poor countries. So to be able to educate them, to demand change. And we're finding that at the March of Dimes in terms of developing something we've called the World Prematurity Network, which is really building the capacity for parent groups worldwide. And this kind of grassroots civil society force is an incredible agent for change, because they demand change from the ground up, not from the top down. So it's a multitude of factors, but they're all really simple to do. We just have to do them. That's what's so frustrating. Thank you.
You know, I mentioned that one of the other signature programs of the March of Dimes is NICU Family Support, and then actually Judy oversees that program as well. And one of the integral parts of that program is a program focused on kangaroo care called Close to Me. So if you want to learn more about that, it's another question to direct to Judy. Other questions? Yes.
Yeah, so the concern is that as you go in the 39 to 42 week, you start to see an increase in stillbirth. So there's been a concern that our 39 week quality improvement would in fact result in more stillbirths. And it's something that we're concerned about. There are 5 studies that have looked at this. 4 of the 5, the 4 most robust of the studies, with quality improvement did not see a rise in stillbirth. The smallest, least robust of the 5 studies did find a small increase. But this is something we need to follow and continue to follow. We're aware of it. We certainly don't want to see as a result of the quote-unquote quality improvement that we would see than more babies being born stillborn.
So Dr. McCabe mentioned that we released our report card on Friday, and I know he's been quite busy. In fact, really hadn't had a chance to see him until this meeting, because he's been doing media tours, actually. And so I'm curious, Ed, because I haven't had time to read through all my emails, what have there been common questions coming from the press around our report card and what we're doing with our partners to address prevention of preterm birth?
Well, everybody wants to know, why did we get a C? You know, we're a competitive culture, and to as a country to get a C. They want to know who got the A's, who got the F's. Those are sort of standard questions. What I've been impressed with was the amount of interest in the ACA, Obamacare. And what was impressive to me was that I would say at least 75% of the journalists asked me about that. I haven't read over it all because that's quite a bit, but I don't think the ones I've sort of spot checked, it hasn't come up. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but it's one of those things. I didn't give the right answer because I consider that, you know, and the data are, but I mentioned here, and I coined the term as I was going over, you know, interview after interview, that maternal care insurance is protective against preterm birth. That was a shorter soundbite than the whole longer one I started with. And I pointed out that part of the problem with people's insurance, their insurance being canceled, and this has made a lot of press, is that it doesn't provide maternity care. There was one study that only 16% of commercial payers actually covered maternity care, whereas that's one of the requirements under the Affordable Care Act. And so then I followed that up with saying that I expected that that would improve outcomes. Of course, this wasn't what they wanted to hear and didn't feed into the controversy. So far, maybe it's in there, but it's not been a prominent. That was a prominent part of the interviews. It's not been a prominent part of the coverage.
I really have a question for all of you related to that too, because I focus more on the global, so but I don't really know about the U.S. But I saw some data that said that fully, I think it's 71% of women in this country make a contact with their healthcare provider in the first trimester of their pregnancy. So in other words, 25% don't. And if you're African American or Hispanic, you're more than twice as likely to not make a contact until you're third trimester or even beyond. And I have a 26-year-old daughter who told me, Dad, you know, when I migrated from my pediatrician to my OBGYN, I told her, I have a father who works for the March of Dimes, he talks about preconception health. What should I do to maximize my health? He said, oh, just eat a proper diet, you know, and then come back and see me when you get pregnant and we'll take it from there. And I thought, that's pretty poor for a country like the U.S. Like,
what's that person's name?
the other thing that I spoke about is that 50% of the pregnancies in this country are now covered by Medicaid. Medicaid, you know, we'd think that Medicaid should be good coverage. Women are not eligible for Medicaid coverage till they know they're pregnant. So that means they're not getting preconception care, whereas with the ACA, they will be covered. So they will have access to preconception care. They're then terminated from Medicaid coverage 60 days after delivery. So again, in terms of spacing and all the interconception care, Medicaid doesn't really provide good coverage. So again, I think the coverage that's required under the Affordable Care Act will be much better in terms of many of the things that we feel need to be covered, like preconception and conception care. Does that answer your question?
Right. I'd like to give a comment about it as well, and I know you wanted to hear from folks in the room too, but I feel really strongly that when you put those folks together across disciplines in a community, like with Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait and other programs that you know that bring professionals across disciplines, then you have the neonatologists and the pediatricians and the OBs and the nurses and the did I say pediatricians?
the family
practice doctors. All together, they start talking about these issues, and you have a family practice doctor who is speaking to a neonatologist or who's speaking to the obstetrician gynecologist, and
you know, kind of they're in that same room able to kind of call each other on this. So you hear the OBGYN say something like Chris just said he had, his daughter had the experience, had the same experience 27 years ago, exact same experience. So something has to change here. And I really do think that cross-fertilization among professionals, both in, on the clinical side and the public health side, however we can make that happen, will help. Because even when those women are fully insured, if their doctors are not, you know, accepting a preconception health appointment, which I hope also is going to be insured, I mean, I know that we're going in that direction, but, you know, they, if the doctor isn't making an appointment for them, then it's really hard. So a little bit of peer pressure, I think, would help this situation in communities.
Yeah, so actually the Marsh of Dimes provided financial support for a study by the Hastings Center and sponsored a meeting at our national office of the group involved with that. That the white paper has been completed on that, and they're now shopping around pieces of it to, the latest I heard was JAMA, to try and get it out there. As a result of that report, we have been working on an internal document to really come up with our position. And one of the key things, a couple of the key points are, is that like the WHO, we argue that infertility is a medical condition. It should not be treated as it's been right up there with plastic surgery, sort of, in terms of it's not medical, it's something that you want, so therefore you need to pay for it on your own. And we think that's important to elevate it to a medical condition. We also come out favoring single embryo transfer, except under exceptional conditions, like a woman who has had treatment for cancer in the past, and we know she will have decreased number of ovulations, and some other things. But yes, it's definitely something that we're aware of, concerned about, have sponsored a major group to take a hard look at this, and I was impressed with the document. It was very insightful. It has to do with things like, should we redefine what a cycle is? Because if so much of this is really economic pressure with women who can't afford. I had an assistant in a previous job who actually had to declare bankruptcy, literally, officially declared bankruptcy because of infertility treatment, all without success. So I think that we need to recognize what it does to individuals, and then what it does in terms of multiples leading to prematurity. And one of the things that comes out of this is there's actually kind of a cult of the twin in the U.S. You know, twins are cute, and certainly they are. But there are also significant risks to twins and higher order multiples.
Can I say something really quickly? And this is where, you know, we globally really, really need your help, because Dr. McCabe just mentioned a practice done in the United States. I'll tell you another one. And this is, you talked about the QI initiative, which drove down the rates of early elective deliveries. As we know more about what's being done internationally, we've suddenly come to realize that there are rates of elective early deliveries before 39 weeks that are at incredible rates in certain countries. Like, I grew up in Brazil, the rates there are 48%. 48% of all births are either by C-section or induction. Even a place like Bangladesh, 50%. So, you know, it's the same kind of forces that are at work there.
So I think there is a real need to apply what we've learned in the U.S. These people are asking for help, saying we need to bring the rates down. Again, 54% in China in the maternal and child health hospitals. So we don't have the data yet that show them linked to preterm birth, but we do know that even 1 week earlier can raise risks to some degree, and that increases the... So this is an area that really needs work. So if there are any of you interested in this issue, it's ripe for international engagement.
Okay, so I guess it's 4:00. We'll close the session. I want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. If you have further questions, the panelists will be here for a few minutes. I do want to remind you that it's World Prematurity Day on November 17th, so share a hug with others. And as Dr. McCade said, you go on to Facebook and other social media to learn how you can do more. And again, thank you so much for helping us address and attack the problem of preterm birth. Thank you.